Canva.
Yeah, it is. In sports, as in business, if you look good, you feel good, and you play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop
that. We listened to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/T-Boy or text T-Boy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/T-Boy or text T-Boy to 500-500. Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Tuesday, December 1st. Happy T-Boy Tuesday. Nick, would you look at that? The Dow just had its best month since 1987.
Jack, we weren't even born yet. We weren't even a thing back then.
I guess we'll give credit to the election. Bitcoin, by the way, now a thing.
Yeah, had its best month because people talked about it over Thanksgiving.
Number one driver of Bitcoin,
people talking at national holidays.
Nick, this happens to be the best one yet, so I'm going to get into our first story. Under Armour must have been watching that Michael Jordan documentary on ESPN.
They're giving Steph Curry a shoe brand, but first, Jack and I've got a longer-term idea.
For our second story is S&P Global. Our buddy Timmy used to work there, and they just dropped a huge $44 billion for the biggest acquisition of 2020.
I mean, Jack and I saw so many superlatives here, we had to cover this. We really had no other option, but we found a fantastic story in there for you.
For our third and final story, in 2012, Facebook acquired Instagram for $1 billion.
Well, now Facebook's buying Customer with a K for $1 billion.
And Customer with a K reveals what Zuck is actually focused on.
But Snackers, before we jump into that, honestly, Jack, a wonderful mix of stories today. Jack and I have got a breaking update for you.
We're seeing a huge increase in testing this year at Chipotle.
At Chipotle. Snackers, Chipotle has basically turned the United States into a regional petri dish of which Jack and I have jumped into snack style.
Here's where it's going down. In Detroit and San Diego, they're testing queso blanco.
Spanish for the white cheese, el white cheese.
In Cleveland and Indianapolis, they're testing quesadillas.
Honestly, we don't know why it took so long. This should have been product number one. This should have been their first product.
Nick, out west in Colorado and Wisconsin, cilantro lime cauliflower rice.
Cauliflower tastes just as good, but it's also a vegetable. But no one asked cauliflower if it like wanted to be all these things, by the way.
It's a vegetable and tastes like a meat. I'm a big fan.
Someone should ask it. Well, meanwhile, Jack and I just noticed yesterday in Cincinnati and lovely Sacramento, Chipotle is testing smoked brisket starting this week.
Now, they're starting in just two cities, Nick, because it takes approximately 17 hours to cook like 1 pound of brisket.
And we all have one friend who will remind you of that every time they make you brisket.
Tex-Mex in Central Ohio. Good call.
But here's what Jack and I find fascinating about this. Between 2016 and 2019, Chipotle didn't add a single new menu item.
But they've spent 2020 like the rest of us, playing Chef Boyardee in our kitchen, trying out new recipes.
Which leads to the takeaway here. Jack, what's the one thing that is never gonna change over at Chipotle?
Guac is always extra.
Snackers, in life, it's always extra. Let's hit our three stories.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get some legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, Under Armour just launched Curry Brand, hoping to achieve what Nike did with Michael Jordan.
We think, though, Under Armour should be spinning, not playing basketball.
Yes. More on that in a sec. In the meantime, though, Snackers, if you're selling basketball shoes, you're basically thinking about one thing. You're focused on the cool factor.
Will the other kids on the basketball court think I look cool in these shoes? That's my only question I asked the shoe guy.
The second driver of the shoe market, peer pressure. Powerful driver.
Exactly. Now, Nike struck gold back in 1984 when they signed 21-year-old Michael Jordan before his 6 NBA finals and 2 gold medals.
Second thing that's happened on this pod, Jack and I weren't born for. But in the meantime, Under Armour is now trying to replicate that situation, but with Steph Curry, who happens to be a modern-day cool dude.
He's not tall enough to dunk, so he just shoots threes.
Honestly, any kid can relate to this.
He went to Davidson, a small college in North Carolina.
Yes, it is.
So small, the campus shares like one Netflix password.
Which is definitely something any kid can relate to.
So its new sub-brand is going to be called Curry. We're talking footwear, apparel, and accessories over at Under Armour.
Not the flavor, we're talking the gear.
Right. And an unspecified percentage of revenue of Curry brand gear is going to be, quote-unquote, invested in under-resourced communities.
Now, they did unspecify that, so Jack and I are going to give them some credit, but we're not going to give them full credit quite yet.
I hope it's not like less than 1%. Come on, guys.
No, we don't want a rounding situation here. We want a full situation. We want a full absolute number.
But Nick, Michael Jordan was 21 when he got signed. They bought low, if you will. Steph Curry's 32.
So Jack and I are thinking they're going to milk maybe a couple years out of these shoes. We're talking less franchise, more 1 to 2 year opportunity.
Peak years of productivity are in his rearview mirror.
But Snackers, here's what Jack and I find fascinating to focus on about Under Armour. This company needs a spark, and we've been saying it now for a little bit too longer than we're comfortable with.
Under Armour became famous by decking out big high school football and lacrosse players with spandex so they could show off their muscles to everybody.
I will protect this house.
We will wick your sweat.
But performance gear is out. Chill gear is in.
Under Armour is too much ath, not enough leisure.
Jack, you count your steps. You don't count your hand cleans.
Look sharp over play sharp.
Technically, if you look sharp, you play sharp.
That's true. Now, Under Armour stock is down 63% in the past 5 years.
And it's a straight up fair comparison here, Snackers. Rivals Nike and Lululemon, they're up 100% and 600% in that same time period.
As we said, Under Armour needs a spark.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our Baltimore buddies over at Under Armour?
The perfect place for Under Armour is Peloton.
Snackers, last year, Under Armour's founder, Kevin Plank, said something that honestly, it completely shocked Jack and I. Jack, the honors on the quote.
He said, we need to become a louder brand.
Sorry, Kevin, I didn't know the volume stick toggle went up that much. That's insane.
We expected the opposite. It's like, chill out, Under Armour. Be a little more like Lululemon or Nike.
Do less. Do less. But if you're going to be louder, Jack and I think we found the perfect customer for Under Armour's obsession with exercise and performance. And that customer who's perfect would be Peloton.
Pelotoners exercise from home.
Yeah, where looks aren't as important as like performance because you're not seeing anyone else at home.
And Pelotoners are focused on like rankings and calorie burning data.
So that's the kind of person who would enjoy, you know, some performance gear.
Also, Mirror, which is a Peloton competitor, just got acquired by an apparel company, Lululemon.
And Lululemon happens to be Under Armour's main competition.
We think Under Armour should partner or get acquired by Peloton.
And honestly, Jack and I checked out the numbers. Peloton can afford it. They're worth $34 billion. Under Armour's worth only $7 billion based on yesterday's stock prices.
As a case study here, SoulCycle, another Peloton competitor, they were making 20 to 40% of their revenue on apparel, and Peloton doesn't even sell apparel yet.
So apparel is a fantastic high margin way to make more money off of a rapidly loyal user base, which Peloton happens to have.
And on the Under Armour side, with Peloton, Under Armour wouldn't have to compete one-on-one against Michael Jordan, something you don't want to do.
For our second story, Facebook's latest acquisition is for a straight up cool $1 billion.
The startup is called Customer with a K, and it reveals where Facebook is actually focused right now.
All right, Snack, because you just got back from you just hung up on your Zoom Thanksgiving. And honestly, there's probably like one movie that was brought up, two movies that you were yelled at for watching.
What do you think was brought up, Nick?
Honestly, it was like, have you watched The Queen's Gambit or are you watching The Crown? If it's not across the pond, it didn't count.
Everyone in my family is also obsessed with English royalty.
Yeah, the best part is like, we already know what's going to happen and yet we still don't want to know what's going to happen.
But another leading contender for Thanksgiving conversations was the movie The Social Dilemma.
It's a charming Netflix documentary about how, you know, Facebook and social media companies may be stalking you, maybe getting you addicted, and maybe hurting you. It's a laugh riot.
Yeah, I've talked about it with a bunch of people. And other dominant stories of Facebook in 2020, Nick?
You know, misinformation, disinformation, political ads, tech addiction, and I'm thinking anti-competitive behavior.
AKA crushing the competition by acting like a monopoly. That's right.
So Snackers, you know, you add that all up. Maybe those people Jack just said he's talking to about the movie Social Dilemma.
You may be surprised what Facebook just dropped $1 billion on.
Customer
with a K.
With a K, very 2000s. They had to do the K.
Snackers, Customer isn't for you, but you may be interacting with it across one of Facebook's apps.
And that's because Customer takes a company's customer service chatbots that you may be interacting with on social media, and it unifies them in a single cockpit.
Let's say Sam Slammin' Salmon Sweaters is trying to boost sales by selling them online on these apps.
So it's going to, you know, have an ad on Instagram. Maybe it offers like a discount code on Facebook, but then they're going to actually complete sales maybe on WhatsApp, all of which are owned by Facebook.
With Customer with a K, Facebook can help one chatbot conversation that started on Instagram about a Facebook purchase get resolved on WhatsApp.
And the reason why Jack and I thought this smaller $1 billion acquisition was so important is because we've noticed Facebook has been building out an e-commerce focused ice cream sundae, and Customer with a K is the cherry on top of that e-commerce ice cream sundae.
Look, every time I say my last name, Kramer, I say Kramer with a K.
By the way, the CEO of Customer was really happy we covered this company, is now really unhappy we covered this company.
Earlier this year, Snackers, Facebook announced Shops to get Sam selling his Slammin' Salmon sweater across Zuck's empire of apps.
But now Facebook needs customer service skills to keep Sam selling those Slammin' Salmon sweaters across Zuck's empire of apps.
Nick, I'll tell you, that Slammin' Sam is a splendid sunny.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Facebook?
Facebook's next billion users, they're businesses.
They're businesses. Snackers, Facebook loves to talk about reaching the next billion.
Facebook has 2.7 billion users right now.
So if you're like talking India, Africa, Latin America, those are the emerging market opportunities that you typically think Facebook's focusing on getting into.
But Facebook's moves in 2020, they're all about making the next billion users companies, not humans.
And after a brutal year of PR, Jack and I are thinking that supporting a billion businesses would actually be a thoughtful strategic goal for Facebook instead.
It could change the narrative by diversifying revenues away from addicting like creepy ads to e-commerce fees instead.
And they'd be supporting mom and pop shops.
Facebook's got 200 million businesses so far on Facebook's apps.
And business services like Customer,
with a K,
could help get that up to a billion. For our third and final story, we've got ourselves the biggest acquisition of 2020. And it's all about one thing. It's all around the D word. Data.
S&P Global is snatching up a mine of financial data for $44 billion.
$44 billion. Snackers, we got to rewind to 1980.
Another thing we weren't alive for.
This podcast, it's keeping me young, Jack. Mikey Bloomberg just launched The Terminal,
a special computer with a fancy keyboard that people like to post on Instagram to prove that they work at a top financial institution.
Press the red buttons and then press the green buttons and you know, you look like you know what you're doing. That's how you do it.
Snacker, the Bloomberg Terminals is legendary. It costs like $100,000 and like $3,000 a year. It gives you top data for finance professionals.
And it matches with like every TV commercial you saw out there growing up, including before Jack and I were born, which was all about having an edge.
Every finance company, they're like, with us, you'll get that edge that you need.
You're probably a guy, you probably have gray hair, and you're going to want an edge.
Now, besides Bloomberg, which is a privately held company, mostly by Mike Bloomberg, former mayor of New York City, S&P Global is the number one biggest financial information company.
AKA? FINFO.
Financial info.
Financial info company. So Standard & Poor's, which are the S and the P in S&P, they get to spend their time rating countries, rating companies, rating institutions. They're rating how likely these places are to actually pay you back for the money they're borrowing.
For a hefty subscription fee, S&P will also equip like equity analysts, stock managers, fund managers with the top financial data.
And back when Jack and I worked on Wall Street and had to shave on a daily basis, S&P was also charging us for like real-time data to their S&P 500 stock market index, which you know so well.
Now, S&P Global is snatching up a company with the worst name ever. IHS Market.
And because in our previous story, they spelled customer with a K, IHS Market spells market, M-A-R-K-I-T, as well as having an acronym in the prefix of their name.
It's a brutal name. Now, this company is based in London. They're a FINFO company. They're publicly traded, and the stock jumped 7% on news they were getting acquired by S&P Global.
And honestly, Jack and I checked out the company further. Most Wall Street firms are using IHS Market for information on prices and trades of stocks and bonds. More FINFO, financial info.
But it's not just Wall Street.
No, snackers, you actually are more connected to IHS Market than you realize.
Big banks do use IHS Market to get data for companies that are about to IPO.
So for example, we've been talking about how Airbnb is likely going to go public next month. Well, they've already started sharing information publicly with potential investors through their S1 paperwork, which Jack and I jumped into snack style just a couple weeks ago.
In the S1, you see something like the travel market is $1.5 billion, a lot of space for Airbnb to make money.
Well, that helpful information was put in there by the investment banks helping Airbnb go public, and they probably got that data from IHS Market.
You may decide to buy or not buy Airbnb stock thanks to data coming from IHS Market.
So Jack, what's the takeaway for the biggest acquisition of 2020?
In finance, data and information are the best competitive advantages.
Snackers, lots of people think they can beat the stock market, but honestly, most people are not going to beat the stock market.
Those who do are probably the ones that had the best information and the best data.
And that's why the big people up in finance are investing billions of dollars every day in data.
They're happy to pay millions on top of that for top data to ensure that they're making good investments with the billions of dollars they're responsible for.
So that they can earn more billions. Well, Snackers, another company that provides CIA quality data is one we talked about recently, called Palantir.
Its stock just hit a record high. It's up 50% in just last week.
And that's because companies like IHS Market and Palantir, they know who their customer is.
If you're selling financial information and data to finance companies, those finance companies will be willing to pay a lot for it.
And S&P Global stock is at a record high and can afford the biggest acquisition of 2020 because big Wall Street money wants a big competitive advantage.
They want the edge.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Under Armour just launched the Curry brand to play one-on-one against Air Jordan in basketball.
Yeah, instead, we think they should tap into the rabid and swole Peloton user base.
For our second story, Facebook has 2.7 billion users so far, and it's looking at the next billion.
For that, it's focused on businesses, not humans.
For our third and final story, S&P Global is the biggest FINFO stock there is.
KYC, know your customer, sell financial FINFO to Wall Street for a very high price. Now time for our snack fact of the day, which is actually a correction from yesterday. We promoted this one. Michelle Borman, we're going to assume in Los Angeles. She pointed out that yesterday we said Salesforce Tower was the tallest building west of the Mississippi.
Right. It's in San Francisco and it's the global headquarters of Salesforce.
Turns out Jack and I got two things wrong here. First, Wilshire Grand Tower in Los Angeles is taller and by 30 feet and it's also west of the Mississippi.
And second, Salesforce doesn't own the Salesforce Tower like we said. It's just named after Salesforce. They're probably paying millions for that naming rights. It's owned by Boston Properties.
And that's why today's podcast is better than yesterday's podcast.
Thank you, Kevin Bennett, for that second correction. Oh, by the way, Nick, how many buildings in New York City are taller than either of these buildings?
And we don't want to brag here, but it's like eight. It's eight.
And two of those were built before World War II, right? And
they're probably building another one right now. Snackers, you looked fantastic on T-Boy Tuesday. We can't wait to do this tomorrow. Jack, Slammin' Salmon, it's going to be great.
I'll wear Slammin' Salmon. We'll see you there, Snackers.
Can't wait. And before we go, Snackers, big congrats to Snackers Ken and Sandy, who are just kicking off their around-the-world trip starting in Dubai.
Impressive. Congrats, Jacqueline Hepburn, who's just kicked off a new job at Salesforce.
Perfect timing. This is great, Kevin. Listen to yesterday's pod.
And congrats, Erica and Michael Kellum, Go Blue, from Discovery Bay, California, who just got engaged on Thanksgiving.
And happy birthday to Jose Renato de Camargos in Belo Horizonte, Brazil.
Herzlichen Glückwunsch to Laura from Tübingen, Germany.
And happy birthday, Sunny Alec Walla from London, England.
And Scott Jordan from Mayfield, Pennsylvania.
And Anthony Whitlow in Syracuse, New York.
And Cassiel Crystal in Scottsdale, Arizona.
And congrats Alfred and Frario, who just got engaged while being MBA students in Texas.
Happy 3-year anniversary to Michelle Benz and Jane Thompson in Boston.
And 2-year anniversary over to Buns and Caitlin in D.C.
Happy 6.5 to John and Emily in Los Angeles.
And Tanner and Crystal Wright just got engaged in the lovely mountains of New Mexico.
And congrats on landing a new humble abode to Chris Bearcat Boscovich in Orlando, Florida. This is Jack, Nick Ownstock of Lululemon and Chipotle.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts, who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC, and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.